Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, we look to the first reading. Well, actually, let me begin with the opening prayer, because this is the feast of Saint Rita of Cassia, and she was born into an Italian peasant family in 1381. Her parents insisted that she marry, though she wanted to remain a virgin, and when her husband was the victim of a politically motivated murder, Rita's sons vowed to avenge his death. Rita prayed that this might be prevented, and both sons died of natural causes before they could act. That's quite a miracle right there. Afterward, Rita joined the Augustinians in Cassia and pursued an intense prayer life. She died in 1457 after protracted illness. And this is what John Paul II said about her. If we ask Saint Rita for the secret to the extraordinary work of social and spiritual renewal, she replies, fidelity to the love that was crucified. Rita, with Christ and like Christ, goes to the cross always and only through love. In other words, she was willing to do anything that God asked of her, to serve the poor and the needy. She lived in love for love. And that's what every one of us is called to do, no matter what the circumstances, to live in love, in the love that is God, to live in his presence, always conscious that I am in his presence, that he sees me and knows me and loves me, to know who I am, to know to whom I belong, and then to be able to speak the truth. You would be amazed at how God can use that. But it's hard for us because we don't have all the, you know, the I's dotted and the T's crossed. We don't know every step that is going to play out in a difficult situation. But if we listen to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to follow you, love through me, use me, and stay there listening, attentive. Not that God's going to give you a manuscript or a script to read, but you'll have a sense where there's peace. You keep following that. Relate to others as God would relate to them. Doesn't mean that you don't speak the truth clearly. You do, but you can do it without terrible anger. You can do it for the good of the other soul. And if they refuse it, you've done all you could. But if they take advantage of what you say and actually change, you've won another soul for Jesus Christ. I really mean that. The little things. Don't bypass the little things. That's where some of the most extraordinary acts of love have happened. Let's take a look at the first reading for today from the letter of James, chapter 4, verses 1 to 10. Beloved, where do the wars and where do the conflicts among you come from? Is it not from your passions that make war within your members? You covet, but do not possess. You kill and envy, but you cannot obtain. You fight and wage war. You do not possess because you do not ask. You ask but do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. In other words, you're asking for selfish things. But if you ask to make the world a better place and to use you in this situation or that situation to accomplish it, God will answer that prayer. That is not in the scripture. That's my addition. Adulterers, do you not know that to be a lover of the world means enmity with God? You can't love both the world and God, because I'm talking about the world with its values and its priorities. They are in contradiction to the gospel. Therefore, whoever wants to be a lover of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose that the scripture speaks without meaning when it says, the spirit that he has made to dwell in us tends toward jealousy, but he bestows a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you of two minds. You know, well, maybe this, maybe this. I don't know. I don't know what I think. And we never make a decision. Don't remain someone of two minds. Begin to lament, to mourn, to weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, your joy into dejection. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. This is not an admonition to killing joy. It's getting your desire for joy onto the right things. What should bring you true joy, not just momentary pleasure. That's not joy. Joy is a deep, abiding, sometimes I put it, a deep, abiding, happy peace. That you know you're doing what's right, and God is pleased. And you experience a joy that no one can take from you. That's what James is talking about here in his letter. So submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you of two minds. Are you of two minds? Are you going to follow him? Are you going to follow the world and him? You can't do both. And when you mourn and repent for your sin and you humble yourself before the Lord and say, lead me, guide me, he will do so. Psalm 55, throw your cares on the Lord and he will support you. Throw your cares on the Lord and he will support you. I would wait for him who saves me from the violent storm and the tempest. Engulf them, O God, divide their counsels. In the city, I see violence and strife. Day and night they prowl about upon its walls. Cast your care upon the Lord, and he will support you. Never will he permit the just man to be disturbed. Cast your lot with Christ. The Holy Spirit lives within you. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. The Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. And all the fruits of the Spirit will follow: love, joy, peace, patience, etc., etc. Honestly. But we have to make choices. Choices about who we associate with. Choices about the projects that we're part of. Choices about the way we govern ourselves at work. Looking at ourselves in relation to our family members and how we treat them. Don't take it all on at once. Start with one area. But ask God to give you the grace that your life might be in line with his word and his will and his truth as it's revealed to us in Scripture. All right, let's take a look at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 30 to 37. Jesus and his disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee, but he did not wish anyone to know about it. Jesus, God bless him, he's trying to go quietly and have time with his disciples. He just did not wish anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples and telling them, the Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise. But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. We probably should know the answer. We don't know the answer. Jesus is waiting for them to humble themselves and just say to him, Jesus, we don't understand. And he always answered them when they took that posture. How humble are you before the Lord? How genuinely humble. I don't mean just taking the lowest place so that everybody can see how holy you are. That's not what I'm talking about. But how genuinely humble you are within your family, among your close associates, your friends. Humility is truth. Live in the truth. And as far as I know, not one of us on the face of the earth is the be-all and the end-all of everything. We all have our flaws. We all have our limitations. We all have our sins. But the more we repent of our sin, the more Jesus can dwell with us and lead us in the way he wants us to go. And we can hear his voice. When we ask forgiveness for sin, his voice comes through much more clearly. Mark 9:30-37. Jesus and his disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee, but he did not wish anyone to know about it. I'm repeating this because I want you to see that Jesus wanted to keep things quiet, but somebody was always going around and probably one of the disciples telling them what Jesus had said. And then he tells them what is most serious here, that he is about to be crucified. But he also tells them on the third day, the Son of Man will rise. They did not understand, and they were afraid to question him. And they came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, he began to ask them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent, because they were all arguing about what Jesus had said. For they had been discussing among themselves on the way, who was the greatest? They talked about Jesus, and then they said, well, God loves you more than he loves me, and all that kind of stuff that we get into. All the kind of competition that goes on in our hearts. And then he sat down, and he called the 12. Sat down, that was a position of authority for a teacher. So he sat down, and then he called the 12. And he said to them, if anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all. Taking the child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around it, he said to them, whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me. Now, you can understand why they would have been a bit confused. But what he's doing is speaking of his relationship with the Father. And he's wanting to draw them in. And he's saying that the best way to be drawn in is not wishing to be first. What's most important is wishing, desiring to do the will of God. I want to do God's will. And if that has me in a prominent position, blessed be God. And if it happens in an unseen position, someone or something that I'm asked to do that is not known by anyone else, and yet it's substantial, it takes a lot of work. And if God wants it to be hidden, then let it remain hidden. Don't blow your own horn. If somebody asks you, did you do this? Then yes, absolutely. Say truthfully, yes, I did. Yes, I did. And the person says, well, it's a very good job. Thank you very much. And may the glory belong to God. That's all. Simple. You don't have to come up with some pious big statement. And sometimes you can't even say all of that. You can simply say, thank you very much. And then in your heart, say to the Lord, and all the glory and the honor be yours. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, to inspire you to follow him more closely. May God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I want to offer you a new free booklet entitled Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. That booklet is available to you simply by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net.